Better grab everything I can.
You're gonna want to see this. This is gonna be good.
Francis!
What? Grabbing pills. Grabbing pills.
Grabbing pills.
Pills here!
Grabbing pills.
Now, see, every time I hear that now, I have to laugh. Because Ginger will yell out pills here and then take them.
Hell yeah.
It was pills, not hell.
So wild to catch on to that. I sit up here and Ginger going, oh, there's ammo. And I go, what happened to the...
Hey, it's the zombie apocalypse. If you weren't fast enough to grab it, I don't know what to tell you.
She'll say, one more vial. I go, where is the vial? Ginger, there's no vial here. Oh, I picked that up.
It is in my hand, and I'm going to throw it at you to get the zombies off of me.
I managed to execute my most proud move in Left 4 Dead, which was throw the boomer pile on the tank and have the zombies run after him.
I did it was face down in the ground.
Yes, so it was.
And then
it was
dirt.
It was really good.
It was tasty.
Tasty dirt. I was going to say this is Monday, but it's not Monday.
No, it's Tuesday.
Yes.
All who tuned in yesterday, yeah, we weren't here.
This would be correct.
I was sleeping during this time.
I know I was.
I was like, first person to wake me up gets shot. Just saying. I sleep with a gun next to my bed. Don't tempt me.
I wake up and hit people. I have to warn people. I should probably warn you of that. When we get to PAX, I'm a light sleeper, so usually if you say my name, I'll wake right up, but never touch me.
Never touch you. Okay, I'll try to remember not to touch you.
Bad idea.
Oh, now come on.
You can sleep next to me, but when you're trying to wake me up, touching me just results in punch to the face. It's just automatic. I just wake up that way.
All right. I'll make sure I send one of the guys over to wake you up then.
They won't like it.
Have them walk around PAX. So why do you have a black eye? Oh, Corey punched me.
Damn straight I did. I'm ready for the zombie apocalypse. When they come to the room and they reach over, bam. Mm-hmm. Time for me to grab my gun. I shall raise my glass of hot lemon water in effigy to all of you out there, soldiers. Thank you. Didn't get to tell you yesterday. We weren't on the air, but we love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes, we do love y'all.
Mwah, mwah.
Back time and time again.
On that note, remember. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. On that note, remember to get out to the GamersOutreach.org Foundation to their event this month, because they donate a lot of money to our troops. So make sure you get out or stop by their site to donate to our lovely troops.
Yes. And remember, you don't need a holiday to donate. You don't need a reminder. Just do it.
That's right.
Exactly.
Although I saw somebody yesterday with a whole bikini and garter belt set made out of American flag. Now, that was hot.
That would be kind of hot. Do you have pictures of that?
I do not, because I was drinking sangria, and as we all know, that makes me very angry.
Corey Smash.
Don't ask me why I was drinking yesterday, y'all. I have no idea. I don't get drunk, just angry. Okay, moving along. I think some of it's still
angry. Corey is awesome, though. Why is it not you that she's angry at?
If you're not on the receiving end, it's good to watch. What is it? I just tell people, I'm that chick you give a drink and let me drink it and then point and say, she was talking about you, the one you don't like.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's what you do with me. Guided missile. So what we got in the way of news, lovely?
We've not so much news today, I'm kind of surprised, but there are a couple of stories. Looks like the Blame Game is still going on. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning. Looks like they pulled it from The Escapist. Grin blamed Square Enix for their bankruptcy.
Wow.
Grin, who you may know best as the creator of Capcom's Bionic Commando action game, claims that it went bankrupt due to an insane relationship with Square Enix. The company had been working on a Nordic-themed Final Fantasy spinoff, which never came to fruition. You don't say. The company spoke out to Swedish publication Aftonbladet about its relationship with Square Enix, and the picture it paints isn't a pretty one. The spin-off codenamed Fortress never had a chance, according to Grin founders Ulf and Bo Anderson, because Square Enix was erratic, unreasonable, and contrary in its dealings with Grin. Grin says that Square Enix didn't pay any of the $20 million contract that it had with the studio to develop the game, even though it met every milestone it was supposed to right up until it went bankrupt in August of 2009. Grin also claims that Square Enix told them that they didn't like the game's Nordic style, despite the fact that Square Enix hired them to deliver such a style. Grin also claims that Square Enix told them that milestones should be filed to its legal department, that they should fax code and music to them, and that they would reject anything sent to them. Some of Grin's claims are over the top and hard to believe, particularly the bit about Square Enix wanting Grin to fax game code. As is usually the case, truth is somewhere in the middle of the mess, and Grin has to take some responsibility for the games it developed that ultimately failed. Yeah. I'm looking at your logo. I can tell you why you failed. Just for the logo. Just saying.
What's so bad about the logo?
It's a blue circle with a grilled out grinny face on it, and it says Grin underneath.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have no response to that.
Me either. Like, really? That's... All right.
I have no response to that.
It's not pretty.
Oof. Well, you PlayStation people, probably yes. Yeah.
You people.
You PlayStation people. Like, I don't have one. You PlayStation people. They posted over the weekend about the restoration of the services, and this is directly from their blog posted by Mr. Jeff Rubenstein, who is the social media manager. Hello, Jeff. Jeff has been nice to us on occasion. Notice I said on occasion. They're saying they'll fully restore all PlayStation Network services in the Americas, Europe and PAL territories, and Asia, excluding Japan, Hong Kong, and South Korea by the end of this week. The company also said it will also resume Music Unlimited powered by Curiosity for PlayStation 3, PSP, Avaya, and other PCs. Details for Japan, Hong Kong, and South Korea, as well as the remaining services on Curiosity, will be announced as they become available. The company has implemented considerable security enhancements to the network infrastructure, as well as conducted testing of the payment process and commerce functions.
Yay!
They're saying the first phase of the PSN and Curiosity restoration actually began way back on May 15th, as a lot of you know, and followed by a few services in Japan and Asian countries on the 28th, when they brought partial services back, partial services back online, blah. With the partial restoration, users were, of course, able to access some of their previous service, such as the online gameplay, account management, friends list, and chat functionality, of course, were restored. The full restoration of PSN network, part of the services. I wish I could talk. As well as the part of the services are listed on their website. Some of them, I'll tell you about a few of them. Of course, you can pop over and read it yourself. It's in-game commerce is available. You're able to redeem your vouchers in codes, which is really good for those of us who deal with a lot of developers that send us codes to review. Your Music Unlimited, they're saying, is fully functional. Well, that's about it for that story. You just have to wait and see what happens at the end of the week. Hopefully, they're able to get everything back up and running. So, good luck, Sony. They said they'll let us know as soon as they have an update. And that was just from this morning, actually, 31st, from out in Tokyo. Hello. That's odd that they're in Tokyo and they won't be... turning on.
I know, right?
There.
Their own home country is kind of like, no, sorry, don't think so.
Let those American tramps have the service.
Let them get screwed over by your service. Let's test it out on them first.
Thanks a lot, Japan.
Thanks, Pan. You're so nice. Good friend.
You treat us real nice.
Remember that time we dropped a bomb?
Girl, you are so bad. Wait a minute, let me check our ratings in Japan. It just dropped. They hate us.
Japan
hates the precious Gamer Cardio. They hate us. I blame blame the ginger. Really?
You know me. I'm always getting in trouble.
Controversial. That's why we keep her around.
Oh, yes. The sweet one. Controversial one. All right. Well, I guess it's my turn for a story. Speaking of karma, Karma Online, Prisoners of the Dead, locks onto closed beta test date.
Mm-hmm. Yay!
Yay! With the launch of the official closed beta homepage today, players should prepare to get zombie-proofed for closed beta starting June 7th. Joymax, a leading online game developer and publisher, announced today that Karma Online, Prisoners of the Dead, will open fire June 7th when its closed beta begins. Y'all really should not run your words together. That kills me. Those wanting to jump right into the game can download the client starting today by visiting the Karma Online POD official website, which is joymax.com/karma, so they can avoid the rush and be ready to play first thing on June 7th. Joymax CEO Nam Chul Kim says, "We plan on a short but fruitful closed beta and definitely look forward to player feedback. It's a rare opportunity for FPS fans to dive into our complex system as they bond over taking out enemies and zombies and hopefully build strong relationships that will turn into clans as we lead into the open beta and launch." The closed beta will run from June 7th until June 21st, so players will have two full weeks to enjoy blasting both their opposing faction players, as well as hordes of zombies waiting to prey on the weakest member of any team. Players can use this time to experiment with different skill builds and weapons before deciding on a final set for open beta and beyond. Bear with me, people. I'm sick today. For a limited time, players who register with the Joymax portal at joymax.com/portal and log into the Karma Beta will receive a weapon bonus for the closed beta testing phase, the much-coveted golden BT-40 bayonet, a knife that will slice even the most obstinate enemy. Simply register and log in during the beta period to be awarded the bonus content. I like killing zombies. I may have to go there and check that out. Remember, people, if you do go over there and sign up and are lucky enough to get into the beta, it is a beta. Expect it to not work correctly.
Yeah, we have to tell them every time.
Prepare for everything to be broken. It's okay. It's just a beta. That does not reflect on what the actual game will be like when it releases.
You know, that's
all not Final Fantasy.
You know, they're going, "This game sucks. It doesn't work. It's not even as good as blah, blah, blah." It's okay.
No, that only works with Square Enix and Final Fantasy.
Dead!
It's so true.
Well, this next story I must do since somebody's going out to pick themselves up a copy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Call of Duty Elite.
Oh.
Well, according to GamesIndustry.biz, they'll be adding a subscription fee. Yeah. Details of the much-rumored subscription service for Call of Duty has been leaked a little bit early, with confirmation that it will not charge for online play, although embargoes on the service were not due to lift until later today. That's what you get for not sending it to us. Embargoes on the service, of course, are not due to lift till later today. The Wall Street Journal got a hold of it, and it was revealed that the service known as Call of Duty Elite will launch alongside this year's Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 in November. Many elements of the service will be free, including community features inspired by Facebook that allows players to meet others who share various affiliations and interests. We're just talking about this story this morning. This is like a deja this view already. Other features, of course, will allow users to analyze their performance within game, with tools that are apparently modeled on stock trading websites. I likes it. I love me some stock. The exact costs of the subscriptions have not yet been decided, but they're saying it'll be comparable to services such as Netflix, so around about $7.99 a month or so.
All right, so this isn't actually going to stop anyone who buys the game from playing the game online. It's just going to stop them from having the silly little Facebook and economics crap, right?
And yeah, to be able to trade. Well, they're saying they're also comparing it to Xbox Live. They're saying if you look at what they're playing on Xbox Live today, they said they've had about 1.7 billion hours of multiplayer play on Live, and he says they think we could do a lot more to really satisfy the interest of the customers.
Now, I don't want to be charged for a whole bunch of crap that I'm not even going to use. I mean, I know other people are into that whole social thing, but no.
I'm not. Well, see, I'm not all for this, okay? You think about something, especially those of us who have Xbox. You need to have a gold membership in the first place to even play your live on Xbox, and then you're going to stack another $7.99 on top of that. No.
Why can't I use Facebook?
Say again.
So why can't we just use Facebook?
Well, why can't I just tell y'all I'm not going to pay $7.99 in addition
to that? There is that. Very, very true. You're already charging me for a service that PSN doesn't charge for, by the way.
Well, it looks like they're going to be trying to stick it on there. Now, I could maybe see. I just don't see it. I mean, it's one thing for MMO because MMO is not part of a whole service. It's that game in particular. But And I could even see if they were going to do it for PC. You know, you got to pay a fee per month to play. But you're actually charging it. I'm already paying to play.
Exactly. And I don't have to pay twice.
Yeah. You cannot circumvent Xbox saying, well, you don't have to pay for your Xbox service, but you can still play this. So one of the two's got to go.
Yeah. And, you know, it'd be fine if Xbox ever comes around with that whole free service that was going around, or the talk was going around, a couple months ago?
Mm-hmm.
That they were looking at starting some kind of free service.
They won't. They make too much money off of gold.
Exactly.
Chips. And I don't mind the paying. You know why I don't mind the paying for that? Because when it's not working, I will call in and rip some people a new one. And I can because I paid for it. That's the difference,
exactly, people.
You crazy people who call in, when you're not paying for it, shut up.
Exactly. If it's free, you know what? You get what you pay for. And if you're not paying for it, well, that's what you get.
Mm-hmm. Shut up and deal with it. But if I'm
exactly,
give me what I paid for. Paid my $6.99 this year. I want my Xbox to work.
All right. Wow, you Australian gamers, you guys are going a little bit crazy recently, and I'm loving it. Absolutely. The story from GamePolitics.com. Forget about the rent is too damn high party. Gamers down under are getting robbed by retailers, according to a consumer group. I love that. Oh, my God. Australian consumer rights publication Choice has submitted a document to the government's Productivity Commission last week demanding retailers lower the price of games. The group called on importers, distributors, and retailers to pass some of the savings they are enjoying, thanks to a strong Aussie dollar, onto Australian consumers. As an example, Choice claims that Australian consumers can save about 90% on the price of Portal 2 if they purchase it abroad instead of at home. The Australian dollar is worth about as much as the U.S. dollar, Choice says, but the price of video games has not come down in the country. Who can blame them? Choice notes in its statement. When Xbox and PlayStation 3 games cost 91% more from a major Australian online retailer than from an overseas online website based in Asia. Of course, you know, if you buy it from Asia, you never know if you're getting a real thing. Anyways, they
wrong!
Have a point.
All kinds of wrong.
They have a point. Choice's director of campaigns and communications, Christopher Zinn, adds that Australian retailers are becoming complacent. The pressure from overseas online competition is a much-needed wake-up for Australian retailers to be more competitive, he wrote. Choice also challenges the retail industry's claim that the GST-free threshold for products under $1,000 is the cause of higher prices. Adding 10% to the cost of a product that is 91% cheaper is not an effective deterrent, Choice writes. This is a distraction from the real issue of excessive markups and challenges the industry to offer realistic explanations on why prices are so high, or better yet, begin offering better deals for Australian consumers. The imposition of a GST on overseas purchases will not make the threat of far better deals overseas go away. You Australian gamers, y'all are out for blood recently. I love it. And I lost Corey, I'm assuming.
I'm still here talking.
Muted? There you are. I was like, one of us dropped. I don't know which one.
I am out of order.
Mm-hmm. You are out of order. See, you know, she's always told me, Ginger, you're so out of order. You're so out of order. I'm done with you. And then see, she's the one. Huh? Mm.
Done with me today, yes.
No, I could never be done with my Corey. I love you, Corey.
I need to get this out of my system. Okay, moving along.
Somebody's going to get cut. Don't let it be me.
No, somebody's going to get cut. Look here. You people. Cryptic Studios.
Wow. Some people.
I'm trying not to threaten anybody. I'm going to stay by myself, to myself today. This is just weird, right? Okay. So China-based MMO giant Perfect World has entered into an agreement with Atari S.A. to acquire a 100%, and I'm going to repeat, 100% equity interest in Cryptic Studios, the developers of Champions Online, Star Trek Online, and City of Heroes. This is going to be interesting. This is from GamePolitics.com, and actually from our mailbox. We got it, too. But I'm going to share from them instead because I don't know if we have ours up yet. The California-based online game developer will cost Perfect World approximately 35 million euros or 49.8 million U.S.
Wow.
The deal is subject to working capital adjustments as provided in the agreement and other customary closing conditions. It is assumed that Perfect World does not gain control of the MMOs that Cryptic currently facilitates, such as Champions Online or Star Trek Online. And while Cryptic Studios certainly gives Perfect World a strong foundation to build up its presence in the West, the company is no stranger to the North American and European MMO markets, because, as you know, COH is here and in the UK. While it has brought a number of popular games from China to Western countries, Perfect World is best known for publishing Runic Games' popular action RPGs Torchlight and Torchlights for consoles in North America. Atari CEO Jim Wilson added that this move falls in line with the company's plan to work more with third-party developers and to rely less on in-house studios. The company also announced its plans earlier this month to sell Cryptic.
Wow.
Well, I guess I won't be going back to COH.
No.
I was thinking about it the other day. I said, I think I feel like taking me a visit to Saints Row. And if there is a Saints Row inside COH, not the actual game, Saints Row, but I'm sorry, Kings Row. I said Saints Row. I was wrong.
I was like, why are you saying Saints Row?
Felt like taking me a visit. Kings Row. I was going to take me a visit, kill me some gangsters, and roll out, but looks like I won't be.
No, not so much. Though I almost did pick up Saints Row yesterday.
I know.
I went with a book instead. All right. Asus selects Soft Connect Studios Dance Wall for the launch of the WAVI Exteon. Wavy Exteon?
Yay!
Asus Tech Computer Corporation, the leading digital entertainment products and online services provider, and Connect Studios, the leading provider of interactive entertainment experiences, today announced that Asus has selected Soft Connect Studios' gesture recognition game, Dance Wall, to be featured as a bundle title with the launch of the Wavy Exteon. Okay, I may be saying that wrong. The Wavy Exteon has been designed to provide the most intuitive living room experience, allowing end users to remotely control their PC and turn it into an entertainment center on TV. The Wavy Exteon will provide unique 3D gesture-based multimedia, web browsing, and game entertainment content to families. It is scheduled to launch in the third quarter of 2011.
GLaDOS is taking over your stream, by the way.
GLaDOS, I hate GLaDOS. Let go. Stupid, horrible robot. Your mother was a toaster.
Can you just say one thing for me? Uh-huh. Here we are again.
No.
Oh, come on now. You know you want to.
No. GLaDOS, let go. Let go.
All right. She let you go for a little bit. You better go quickly before she changes her mind.
All right. Time Warner, I hate you. Y'all are such words I can't say on the air right now. All right. So, Emma Chu, Deputy Section Manager of Multimedia Business Unit of Asus, says, "We are delighted to work with Soft Connect for their unique expertise on gesture-based entertainment. Their contribution through the bundle of Dance Wall with our innovative Media Center product should be impactful. Dance Wall is a perfect title to provide an exciting 3D gesture recognition entertainment for families and friends. In Dance Wall, the goal for players is to achieve the highest score possible by successfully maneuvering the on-screen avatar to fit through cutout shapes and approaching walls. Players control avatar's movements by their own in-room movements and can conform the avatar to any shape players make with their body. Dance Wall can be played alone or as a team of two players. Yeah, so I'm looking at pictures of this wavy Exion. It's a Kinect. It's a Kinect with a Wii-looking console piece. So, I think I'll just continue playing my Kinect and my Dance Central. Thanks. But, you know, hey, if you're one of those people who likes to collect odds and ends of gaming, the Wavy Exion could be yours. And you can check it out over at softconnect.com/developers/free-something. Anyways, yeah.
Free
site. It's really long. Free iisolicense.aspx. You can check it out over on the website. I've got it all there. Game
all
Maker.
Right. All
yeah,
right.
It's like a Kinect. It's got the camera control like the Kinect. It looks just like it, by the way. And then it's got the white box that looks like the Wii. It's like they merged the two or something, but I don't know.
They probably did.
It's essential. Thank you. It's even better music.
Well, there's a new rhythm-based game coming soon to the iPad and Android tablets. It's going to be on, it's going to be on display at the E3 in the DNA Interactive booth, $29.59. Yes, go drive by. Go walk by. Tell them we sent you.
No drive-bys, please. Don't do that. And seriously, if you do it, don't tell them I told you to.
Right. The name of the game is called Skills, the DJ Game, and of course is due for release later this year on iPad and Android tablets and the PC digital download. Skills, of course, is an award-winning music and rhythm video game from, I think it won IGF China 2011 Excellence in Audio Award. Players will use virtual turntables to crossfade, scratch, and drop in samples to remix popular tracks from top artists, including Kid Cutie, Diplo, Crookers, People Under the Stairs, Fede LaGrande, and more. I might have screwed up some of those names. Various modes. Somebody's yelling at their computer right now. That's not how you say that. I know. various modes allow aspiring DJs to casually freestyle one track or pursue a virtual DJ career. I likes it. You can also unlock achievements and new venues as you rack up the points and build up your rep. Those attending E3 this June, of course, can stop by the booth and see the game in action on iPad for the first time ever. I'm just guessing they're not going to let you play because that means you have to hold iPad, and I wouldn't trust you with mine either. some of the key features of the game include, you can pop over the site and read some the rest of these after I'm done, step into the world of DJing. There's a single-player music game for all ages that simulates the world of a superstar DJ and allows players to mix and scratch songs using the tablet's touchscreen service. Sounds interesting. Of course, you can build your rep, unlock the levels, which I told you about. You can also compete on a global leaderboard against your friends and foes and unlock achievements with OpenFaint integration. And there's also an expansive music library. So there will be post-release support with new track packs to become available on an ongoing basis. This looks like it's going to be interesting. We do have a link to the game's teaser trailer. If you want to go and check it out, you can find that on our site. Or you can just pop over to Skills DJ Game, and that's Skills with a Z. You know how y'all... @skillsr.com. You can also check them out on Twitter, Skills DJ Game, and on Facebook, Skills-the-D-DJ. Just find it on our page if you want to join their Facebook. I actually want to play this. It looks really interesting.
I thought about it. So you told me that they spelled Skills with a Z, and then I was like, eh.
Yeah, I'm not so happy about the way they spell Skills, but you know. You got to do what you got to do.
Do what you got to do. Yeah. Right. Wow. Okay, I'm pulling the story from GamePolitics.com this morning because you know that's like my favorite place to get it.
Right.
Divorce online, 15% of divorces due to game addiction.
Oh, that's not good.
No, that's not good at all. That's not good at all. Divorce Online, a website dedicated to getting rid of that dead weight of your marriage, claims that divorces it has handled can be attributed to spouses that are addicted to online games such as World of Warcraft and Call of Duty. Why is it going to be World of Warcraft?
Girl, because you know World of Warcraft. I don't know what it is about these people in their World of Warcraft and falling in love. It's not even Second Life, which I would think would be way worse, but it's not.
I know. All right. Story. Not even going down that road. Ugh. According to a press release issued by Divorce Online, an examination of 200 unreasonable behavior petitions filed by women using its service between January and April of this year found that 15% complained that their husbands were happier playing video games than they were paying attention to them. They called their gaming addiction an unreasonable behavior that led to the divorce they were seeking.
Really?
In other words, you stupid chicks were too busy playing Farmville and didn't want to join in the games with them, and you guys were just hard-headed.
And didn't want to play Farmville. And
yeah. You meet in the middle. If your other half likes to play Farmville, one, you take them to the insane asylum, and two, no, just no. All right.
Well, no, we're supposed to be keeping the magic together, Ginger. Don't take it to the insane asylum.
They can still be married while the other one's, you know, locked up in a padded room. Might even be happier that way. The release also offers from one disgruntled 21-year-old wife. Oh, there, I could tell you an issue right there.
21?
Yeah. Named Jessica Ellis, 24, who married husband Michael in 2008. He was addicted to World of Warcraft, but played other games now and then, said Jessica. When it became serious, he was playing up to 8 hours a day, and I threatened to leave. He then stopped playing World of Warcraft for a while and started playing Call of Duty instead, but the amount he was playing just gradually increased until I could take it no more. It got so bad that he even organized to play on the day of our second wedding anniversary as we decided to go out at the weekend instead. I was constantly trying to get him to cut back, but he didn't think he had a problem or was doing anything wrong until I told him I wanted to leave, but by that time it was too late. They also tapped professional game addict Ryan G. Van Cleve, who you may know from his book Unplugged, My Journey into the Dark World of Video Game Addiction. The book is about how Ryan lost everything to his extreme addiction to World of Warcraft.
Whose fault is
it? I know, right? A lot of the problems spouses encounter with video game addiction is that non-gamers don't appreciate that it's an addiction. This means it's not a choice to spend so much time in a virtual environment versus time with the spouse and family. It's a compulsion. Trying to explain video game addiction to a non-addict is a lot like trying to explain to a fish what it's like to drive a car. It's no surprise that gamer widows, oh, I hate that website, feel so insulted and disrespected that the most common advice given in gamer widow chat sites and websites is run for your life. The reality is that with the proper professional support, a video game addict, like any other type of addict, can overcome the addiction. Mark Keenan, Managing Director of Divorce Online, says the increase in the number of video game addiction cases could be a consequence of the recession, or it might be being used by men in particular as a means of escape from an already unhappy relationship. Why is it got to be just men who are playing games? Come on. Right. Divorce Online is a do-it-yourself, uncontested divorce website in the UK, and has helped more than 68,000 couples file their own divorce proceedings without needing lawyers. For more information on Divorce Online, you can visit divorce-online.co.uk. I think somebody else hit the nail on the head. If you're hiding within games from your spouse, it's probably because you're in an unhappy relationship in the first place. But that needs to be addressed by both sides, not just running away.
But of course, it's the game's fault. They were gonna be addicted to something.
Mm-hmm.
So they were. I don't think it has anything to do with the game itself. It has to do with they just need to get away.
Yes, exactly. Which is what I was saying.
Or they are an addict. Is what I meant to say.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that too. But you know, for the most part, I think I've met fewer addicts as I have people who are just trying to escape into something else.
Now, I've met some people that have some mental disturbances. I'm not going to lie to you. In Second Life, you meet a ton of them that are just off.
Oh, yeah. Like, really? All right. I'm going to take 2 steps back. Don't touch
remind me to tell you about the one I met this week. Ooh, yeah.
I can't wait to hear that story. I love your stories.
Ooh, that chick was so disconnected with reality. It was scary. Take your meds every day, people. I take mine. All right.
Choose the blue pill. Choose the blue one.
Shh, I'm trying not to go into that till I am caught up on everything. If I go in, I'm not coming out. It ain't even an addiction. I just love the Matrix. Okay. Well, you should all know Interplay is in trouble.
Again?
Yes, they're saying they may be overtaken by bankruptcy. Its latest financial report reveals a deficit of, and if, you know, some of you out there think you're in debt, how would you like if your debt was $3
million?
Yeah. Interplay's new yearly report to the...
That's not that bad.
It's $3 million. Their yearly report to the Securities and Exchange Commission filed May 24th warns that the company is unable to meet its current obligations without additional income or by raising additional capital. If this cannot be achieved when the publisher risks becoming insolvent, then the publisher risks becoming insolvent and or being able to, being made to file bankruptcy, illiquid. Ooh, that's the first time I heard that one, but I know exactly what it means. Or worthless. Wow. As of December 31st, 2010, the company's cash balance stood at just $3,000 with a working capital
deficit
of around $2.8 million. A working capital deficit of $2 million. Interplay made a net loss of $1 million in 2010 and also owes the California Employment Development Department around $83,000 in payroll tax contributions and the Franchise Tax Board around $10,000. In order to raise additional funds, Interplay's primary options are listed as sale or merger, a private placement or a public offering of the company's capital stock and the sale of selected assets, the licensing of certain product rights in selected territories, and or selected distribution agreements. These measures could include selling or consolidating certain operations or assets and delaying, canceling, or further scaling back operations. And these measures could materially and adversely affect their ability to push successful titles, may not be enough to permit them to operate profitability or at all.
Wow. That's not horrible. Good.
They currently don't have a permanent chief financial officer. It currently has 5 projects underway. However, the filing indicates that the developers are not being paid in advance, only via a net revenue sharing model once the game is released. Oh, the publisher's biggest project remains massively multiplayer online title Fallout Online. The filing also confirms production of pre-production of downloadable games based on its existing franchises, Battle Chess, Clay Fighter, Dark Alliance, Descent, Earthworm Jim, MDK2, and Stonekeep.
Wow.
Yeah, you all need to go ahead and be absorbed by somebody. You're not. Oh, that's horrible. I hate that.
Yes, yes, very much so.
Somebody needs to. EA, you want everybody. Go ahead.
Oh, no, not EA. No. I wouldn't wish that on my worst. Oh, all right, maybe I would. But no, not good. No.
Well,
but I do want them to keep their jobs. And if EA is the way to do, then yeah, go for it.
Yeah, they're going to have to do something. I'm, oof, that's horrible.
All right, speaking of horrible and tasteless and oh my god. Yeah. Pulling this story from GamePolitics.com this morning, Playing Columbine now available on iTunes and Amazon Instant Video.
Stop.
Playing Columbine is now available on iTunes, Amazon Instant Video, and so will be available via Netflix. Oh, all right, so it's not a game. The documentary chronicles the controversy surrounding the making of Super Columbine Massacre. Still don't think it should be made. A game that let players jump into the boots of the Columbine killers. The game was downloaded more than 500,000 times and caught the attention of the mainstream media, how strongly condemned as a wrong and as a murder simulator. Here's an excerpt from the film's About page. While created to reflect upon the shooting at Columbine and provide critical commentary on the media's incitement over moral panic of video games in the aftermath of the tragedy, SCMRPG itself inadvertently became yet another layer in the debate it was attempting to engage in. Playing Columbine brings together game industry leaders, theorists, and developers, authors, filmmakers, journalists, elected officials, school shooting survivors, concerned citizens, festival organizers, media activists, free speech loyalists, and video game players to examine the issues surrounding the future of video games as an art form and how one game has touched upon the larger development of an emergent form of expression. Doubtless video games offer a new type of experiences to audience, not just banal space battles and street fights, but also about the world we live in. What does it mean to play Columbine? What can we gain from interactive media, particularly with regard to difficult subject matter? And, of course, why is playing Columbine so controversial when watching or reading about it has become commonplace? You can learn more about the film at playingcolumbine.com. I'm still not for sure if this is something I would even watch. And for another, do we really need another video documentary documenting Columbine? I mean, I was in high school when it happened. I remember it quite well. Do we really need more news stories on it? It's horrible. It's a horrible tragedy, and those people should rest in peace. And for the love of Bob and his holy noodliness, you should drop this and let their families heal.
Holy noodliness, I like it. Mm-hmm. I watched a documentary the other day with some of the kids from there, all grown up, and it is horrible. I don't know why all of a sudden people keep getting so involved with this again or so up in arms about this. It's like, I'm not saying forget it, but...
Well, I think it's coming up on what would have been the 10-year anniversary of graduation for these students.
Well, people, I'm sorry to say, I can't think of anything good that they could do with creating this, another documentary or a game. It's just too soon. Just like I said, a 9/11
yes.
game is too soon. It was too soon. I would like to see maybe a 9/11 game made probably maybe in 15 years. I'm not saying it's going to be.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to hurt those of us who are around any less, but give us time. I mean, give those people time.
Do you remember a few weeks back, maybe a month or so back, there was a game. Well, it was a mod, not really a game. Everybody keeps getting these things confused. These things are actual mods. They're not games in themselves. Anyway, there was a mod. Oh, this one may have actually been a game. It was about the Holocaust and the survivors breaking out of a slave penitentiary and killing all of their captors, and everybody was up in arms about it. Do you remember that?
I actually would like to see that. But that wasn't during my lifetime, I have to say.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's more the point I was getting at, is, you know, in a decade or two, this might be something that would be more acceptable. But for right now, it's still too fresh.
Yeah, it's way too soon.
Some of these people who were killed, I mean, they were children then, and they would still be children now, just about, some of them.
Yeah,
early
in their 20s, so it is way too soon. Give the people time to heal. I say, when I was watching the documentary, I was thinking about the school shooter mod as part of the reason why, because we've been talking about it. It's a big deal going on in our community, and it's just, I felt bad for them. I still, you know, I wasn't in high school when it happened. I think I was fresh out of, but it still hurts me to watch them, you know. It could have
mm-hmm.
just as easily been my school or anybody's school.
Mm-hmm.
So have some respect, people.
Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, I really think had they not named it Columbine and had they turned the story around where it was, you know, the students fighting back or something, they could have gone away with this game.
Yeah.
But instead, they chose to play it as the shooters, which was tasteless and tacky and tie a plastic bag over your head and stop breathing things.
Tacky. All right, time for us to go to break now that we have set you. Now that we've set you and you're all angry, I just want to let you guys
be angry. Bring it.
Be angry, but know that
this Pac-Man, baby, loves you.
We love you.
Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss
so
Pac-Man, baby,
that's
I'm
you.
In love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm gonna love you so from your big round bottom to the top of your boat. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm
in
love with you.
In your chair right now.
Baby, I'm gonna love you so from your big round bottom to the top of your boat.
I know it's not
Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you.
Miss
Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you.
I know you're all sad.
I'm in love with you. I knew you were no ordinary yellow circle. Mean, colorful ghost will try to stop you, but you just keep on eating those dots because you will always be just Pac-Man, and that is why I love you. Oh no. From your big round bottom to the top of your boat.
Yes.
Woo, woo, woo.
Baby, I love you.
All right, remember to Since we got a few seconds left, you can find this news and other news on our website, gamermatrix.com, gamergirlsradio.com. You can listen to us anytime, any place, anywhere, all day, all night. Take us with you on your Zoom, your iPad, your iPhone, your anything. And we'll see you guys, on the other side of this break, which is now. We just moved into streaming.
Yay! But yes, I'm going to have to get my review up of this phone. It's beautiful, Corey. It's so beautiful.
Oh, yes. Miss Ginger picked up a new PSP phone. So you might want to check that out. Probably by the time she said, wow. Probably by the time we're saying this, it'll be up already. You have some major crazy things going on Twitter this morning. I don't know what's going on.
Are they Twittering you?
They're not Twittering me. Just some conversations going on. It's kind of weird. Actually, I want to say hello to one of our dear friends who's a journalist, Ryan. I'm going to say your whole name. That's right, Ryan Paul Thompson, who posted a very interesting article on how Sony should apologize to win back users at E3. And he's, did he write this? I don't know if he wrote this. Anyway, it's over at Gamers Mint. Go and check that out. Looks very interesting. I have to say I kind of agree with them. They put some work into this. They even said they should redesign the PSN store. I got to say I agree. That thing is confusing. Have you seen the PSN store?
No. I'm an Xbox kind of girl.
I got to say Xbox's layout is a little, questionable. But the PSN one, I can't find anything. I just have figured out where the stuff is that I need, and I just try to not pay any attention to the rest of it. It's just crazy. I'm going to need for y'all to do something different with that. All that. It is all this crazy, wavy stuff going on, and I don't need my pictures rotating from my hard drive in the background. I really don't.
Yeah, that would annoy me a little bit.
It doesn't do it all the time. That's the thing. Just every now and again, it'll pick up some pictures from, insane. You people. PlayStation.
Huh.
Yeah, they got a good point at Gamersmith. Okay, so. I do have a story.
You have a story?
I have a story.
Really?
I'm trying to clear my throat, and I cannot. We did get this in the news over the weekend. Video Games Live. Have you been to that yet, Ginger?
No, I haven't.
Ooh, honey, you got to go to the Video Games Live. You are missing out on the experience. It usually comes through here during the summer. Perhaps you should make your way this way when it is happening again so that you can go. I don't know if it stops in your city, but they've revealed their lineup. If you've never been to Video Games Live, you simply must go. They're going to be holding their 2000th show during E3 in Los Angeles in early June. And, of course, you can catch them somewhere near you during the summer. They tend to travel during the summer. To celebrate the milestones, the organizers are saying they're pulling out all the stops with some very special performances for some of history's most popular games. Will include a debut of Invincible from Warcraft Cataclysm with Blizzard composer and audio director Russell Brower conducting. This is also going to be the world premiere of music from Resident Evil 5, conducted and orchestrated by composer Wotaru Hokoyama. Mm-hmm. Music from Civilization 4 is going to be played live for the first time ever by Christopher Ten, and it's also featuring a PBS special vocalist, Kenju. I'm not even going to try to say your last name, and I speak terrible French, so I'm not going to ruin that up. music from Red Dead Redemption. Featuring Bill M on guitar, music from Castlevania. Let me see who else we got in here. Oh, there'll be some post-show meet and greets. Also, the Heroes of Might and Magic segment. Music from Halo Reach, of course.
Ooh.
Yeah. Here's something I didn't know. The Reach composers, Marty O'Donnell and Mike Salvatore. Conducting... John Debney, is the composer who did some of the Halo Reach. He also did the music for The Passion of Christ, Sin City, Iron Man 2, Spider-Man 2 and 3. Amazing. You're also going to get some Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater, featuring Laura Fluke, Link, Intravia, End of Nations, and Tetris Opera.
Oh.
Oh, and I've seen that before. If you haven't seen that, you got to see that on YouTube. That's nice that they're going to be there. Amazing. That is amazing. Even on YouTube, I can imagine in person. The tickets start at about $25, so it's very cheap. Oh, I'm sorry. And you will also get to hear this, Still Alive from Portal.
Yes! That's awesome! That totally got me right there. I want to go, except that I'm sitting here, I'm looking at their list of dates, and it has Austin, San Antonio, and Houston to be announced.
Yeah, but they're coming. They always do.
Come on, people. We need to announce.
It is a wonderful, fun night. You can take your, if you're young, you're a young gamer, you can take your mom and dad with you. There's lots of mom and dads that bring the little ones with them. And it's so fun. Some of the little ones come dressed up. If you check our Facebook page and people that we're connected to, you see where we have some little, this little boy was dressed up like Mario. Adorable. Yeah, they come in costume. There's a little cosplay going on, just a little bit, not a whole lot. But you can also tell the very clear divide between the gamers and the people that just brought the kids because they heard video games in the title, because they come dressed in the whole ball gown bit because it's the art. It's the opera. You know, it's the symphony. And the symphony really enjoys when we come out, guys, because they say we make them feel like rock stars. Not very often does a classical symphony have people screaming at them from the audience and cheering, and that's what's going on in the audience, especially me. When I went to the first one and they played Legend of Zelda, I let out this scream. You would swear.
How did I know that that is exactly where you're going with that?
Yes, I got pulled down. So sit down.
Oh, Corey, I love you. You're so hilarious.
It was dead silent too when I did this, and everybody was like, then they started clapping with me. I knew exactly what it was. The first train's my favoriteest. Anyway.
Wow.
Hell no, I love me something. Hi, late. Get kisses.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
On my desk. I love you.
Okay. All right. Well, we got a couple of minutes left.
Yes.
I'm going to talk about Australia again.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Dead or Alive Dimensions gets a PG rating in Australia.
What?
Uh-huh. I know, right? They're so crazy.
Why are they banned like the rest of them?
I don't know. Australia is an interesting country, the writer says. On the one hand, it has struggled for years to get an adult-level video games rating classification R18+, and on the other, it allows a game that has been censored in other countries to be released with little or no controversy. The game in question is the 3DS tactical fighter Dead or Alive Dimensions. Several countries have banned the game because it features sexualized depictions of children. The children are three teen characters named Ayane. I'm probably saying these names wrong. Don't kill me. Well, yeah, whatever. Ayane, Kuroki, Kasumi, who game makers describe as under 18 years of age. To be fair, the censoring has been done mostly by Nintendo, based on concerns about child pornography laws in the Nordic countries, Sweden, Denmark, and Norway, that say it is illegal to show young girls as an animated characters in sexualized ways. The concern is mostly with the game's photography mode, which allows players to look up characters' dresses when they are in certain poses. Controversy about the game in other parts of the world has not affected the game's rating in Australia. The country's rating classification board has been given the game a rating... I can start this over. I was too busy thinking, you're looking up their dresses? Why? It's pixelated. Controversy about the game in other parts of the world has not affected the game's rating in Australia. The country's rating classification board has given the game a rating of PG. So for a change, Australians get a game that is not available in other parts of Europe for whatever that's worth. Again, why are you looking up their dresses? It's probably pixelated. It's probably not even drawn in.
No, it's drawn in.
Wow. Well, see, there's a way to fix that right there. Just don't draw it in.
Well, it's not The Sims, you know, so they drew it in. They more than drew it in, those.
Wow.
So-and-sos.
How are you going to do that? Why is that always going to be the girls? Are you going to draw in the guys? Can we look up the guys soon?
There's no guys in Dead or Alive. Are you kidding me?
No, then, see, I don't like it. No, I'm gonna take a fight.
Yeah, I would like us to get a volleyball game for the Kinect and the Wii, a real one that you can play online against people. I want to smash a volleyball in somebody's face.
Whose face do you want to smash?
I said a volleyball into somebody's face.
Again, whose face do you want to smash with a volleyball?
Horace. No, I don't know.
Horace, what did you do, Horace?
Nothing. His name just came to mind. He's always at fault.
Yeah, I bet he still doesn't have Left 4 Dead 2.
Well, he was asking if we were playing this weekend, so whatever.
If you don't have Left 4 Dead, dude, you ain't playing with us.
Mm-hmm.
He just wants to listen to us scream like little girls.
We are screaming. We are girls.
We are such screamers.
Hey! Bad ginger, bad. All right, we got a very quick, I'm going to run a really quick story. I'm going to try to make this quick anyway. People over at PopCap, yay. They say simultaneous releases are the lowest common denominator. Day and date releases of multi-format titles across numerous hardware are evidence of lowest common denominator thinking, according to PopCap Seattle's studio head, Ed Allard. He spoke to our peoples over at GamesIndustry.biz today and said that the company approaches to release games on multiple formats, but to take the time and effort to create the best version of the game of each system at the cost of staggering releases if they need to. He says the rolling platform release strategy has been something that's evolved out of not out of a business plan, although it turned out to be pretty good from a business perspective, but it's more about being able to approach these platforms with such individual care and attention. He says releasing them all simultaneously, well, we worry about that forcing us into a kind of a lowest common denominator thinking. When the console industry started hitting a point where everything was coming out on multi-platform, you started feeling that. If you've got Wii, 360, and PS3, day and date, you kind of end up playing a Wii game on your PS3 as opposed to playing a great PS3 game, because that's sort of what it takes from a development perspective. I love that he says this.
Mm-hmm.
Make your game specific to your console and make them good and make them different, because I personally will not buy three copies of a game.
It's very true.
I will not buy three copies, because if it's going to be exactly the same, why?
Exactly.
And if it's going to suck on one, then it's probably going to suck on the others, in my estimation. And it might really be good, but it might be good on the, you know, a game for Wii might be better on the Xbox, or the Xbox game might be better on the Wii. Xbox, y'all need to stop with the Kinect, really.
did you hear they come out with a first person? Well, I think it's a third person shooter for the Kinect.
It better be better than the Harry Potter thing that they did, because that was horrible.
No, it's not good.
Matter of fact, I'm trading Harry Potter for Sims 3 today. How about that?
Yay! That's the way to do it.
I'm angry. There's no more Sims 3 in my area. There's no more Sims 3 in my area. I don't know why I said that. I already know. My cousin's going to be calling me any moment to say we're going to look for them, because there aren't any. If you don't pre-order in Houston for your Sims anything, you don't get it. So we probably won't find it. So we'll be hunting today. I'll let you guys know. Anybody out there playing the game, why don't you tweet us? Maybe we'll put that up on our site. Give us updates as you play if you can tear yourself away from the game.
That could be fun.
That could be fun. Or if I get it, I'll tweet you. I can tear myself away from the game. That's why
you can't.
Well, I got a phone with Twitter on it. I know how to work my phone and my PC at the same time. I am a girl.
A girl, the Xperia.
I'm going to tell you why I can do that. You guys right now is tomorrow.
Yeah, she chopped by the side.
Wait a minute, let me turn this down for a second, because I know they can't hear me. Miss Ginger has posted her latest addition to Sex in the Virtual City, and it is damn good. I gotta tell you, you gotta read this one. Drama.
Really? I gotta go back and edit it. I think I was reading over it. I was like, eh.
It's all right. It's still good, even unedited. So guys, make sure you stop by. I think another review is going up by Blast Trinity. I don't know why it's not up, but it's there.
Blaster, you slacker.
Slacker! We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Women think they work just like we do, but no, they don't. Make your check come at the neck. Disrespect us, no, they won't. Boy, don't even try to touch me. Boy, this beat is crazy. This is how they make me. You can text it, baby. It's all like
later, boys and girls.